for the 10th time this season. When allowing three runs or less, the Pirates lost a game. And this one was, I mean, in their cheat runs almost that they gave up because, you know, it's 10th inning, you got the ghost man at second base, so that's almost a given run, or it's an unearned run for pitchers. And the Pirates lose. And really, maybe the Pirates win that game 1-0 if not for a mistake by Martin Perez, but I don't want to slam him. He was awesome. He was really good yesterday. Perez was on it, went 7+, really bounced back from what was a rough first start back where he gave up 6 runs coming back off the IL. Perez, as so many Pirate starters have done this year, gave them an opportunity to win the game. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't find opportunities to get a 2-out double in the first. 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Reynolds homers. All right, you feel a little better. Connor Joe, single, doubled up. Cabrian Hayes hits, caught stealing. And I don't, with 1 out, I don't even blame Derek Shelton for rolling the dice there because you're trying to manufacture something. You want the offense, you're trying to get some kind of spark, get something rolling. What can this group do to create some momentum? Maybe a stolen base, ball gets thrown into center field, you get a runner to third, all of a sudden with 1 out, and maybe Sawinski can get you a sack fly, but caught stealing. Next inning, McCutchen draws a 1-out walk. Fielder's choice to get out of the inning. 1-2-3. You get a 2-out double by Sawinski, which if this ball isn't in the north side notch, if it's anywhere else, it's a home run. Then you see Palacios work a walk after he was initially ruled as hit by a pitch, but ended up walking. Strikeout by McCutchen and Reynolds. Don't take advantage of that opportunity in the eighth. 1-2-3 in the ninth. After Holderman was able to walk through through a little trouble in the ninth and able to, you know, keep that square, Pirates are unable to take advantage. Then the 10th is weird. You get a ground out by Fermin to move the runner over to third. Very productive out. I mean, it's what the Cardinals do. They seem to do everything right, except for what happened at the bottom of the 10th, but almost everything they do is right. Double drives that home, but there's the question on the double. And Nicholas, this is where I want to get your opinion. So after the game, so on that play, they're playing relatively shallow. They're trying to cut off a sack fly. And the ball's hit to the left, or excuse me, to the right of Michael A. Taylor. If he just lets it drop and fields it and holds to a single, you know, you don't have another runner in scoring position. But this guy's a gold glover. If he catches the ball, you know, he goes after it on a dive. And it gets by him. Runner gets to second base. Do you blame Taylor for not playing that off the hop? What's your thoughts?
See, this one's tough because I think that in a split-second decision like that, it's almost impossible to try to judge somebody based on that. In hindsight, and I mean, he even said it. I heard his post-game. He said, if I had to do it, I'd do it again. I'd do it over. But in that moment, you're thinking, okay, I got a beat on it. I could try and make a play. And we've criticized the Pirates before, too, I think, in some cases, for being less aggressive on those fly balls. In that situation, though, and with the reputation he has, because he's not hitting, fans are going to say, well, you know, he's a gold glover. Right. He's got to make that play. You know, why are we paying this guy? Why is he
still on the team? It's not even that. It's like, why don't you let it bounce, kind of circle back around? Because even if you make the catch, even if you make the sliding catch, the run's going to score. So you're not cutting off a run.
That's the kind of pressure I think fans are putting on him, too. I mean, maybe he's hearing the murmurs, like, I'm a Gold Glover, I got to do this. And he tried to do something spectacular as a result.
Right. Now, that being said, I don't blame him at all.
No, I think it's impossible.
Because I think you hit it. He's a Gold Glover. He's made plays like that. And not only do you get a chance to get the out, but then you don't have anybody on base. I realize now the runner goes from first to third, and a two-out single ends up bringing him home, and that ends up being the game-winning run.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, when you've been that good defensively, if it's a player that isn't as good defensively, maybe I have more criticism, because then you let it bounce and keep it in front of you. But mm-hmm. for a player that's been that good, instincts are that good, jumps are that good on balls, I can't kill him for going after and trying to be aggressive and make a play.
No. It's an impossible situation, though, because it's a bad look, though, overall, I think. I don't blame him. To answer your question, I don't blame him, but it's a bad look now. And, I mean, he's going to get killed either way, because fans can't seem to justify why he's still on the team.
And I mean,
and it's rough for him. It's a tough situation to be in.
And, I mean, Santana could have not given up the single to allow the second run to score.
That's true.
So, I mean, to just blame...
Oh, I guess to blame him for the loss. No, you don't blame him for the loss. No, not at all.
Like, I'm not going to go... And maybe if you score, like, two runs in the game, or if Perez... I mean, I think the throw is a little low from Tellez on that play at first base where he didn't get his foot down in time, which accounted for the other run on an E1. But don't give up a double to Carlson, which ended up scoring the run. But,
see, but I don't like blaming the pitchers either. I mean, the pitchers have been put in also.
Oh, no. I'm just saying.
If things could have happened where Michael A. Taylor wouldn't have had to make such a tough decision.
But again, here we are on another morning after a loss, and it's been wild this year. I don't know if I can remember a year where there have been so many, where it feels like the postseason, where after, like a hockey playoff series, where after every win, you think, all right, this team needs to add, they can do it, they can make the playoffs. And after every loss, why don't they do this? This team stinks. Why aren't they making these moves? You know what I mean? It's like the overreaction to every single game this year, which speaks to, I think, fan frustration, which has been going on for a long time with Pirates fans, and obviously seeing what you see from the starting rotation. And you know that starting rotation is good enough to get you in the postseason, but their hitting isn't there. And I don't think whatever they might do at the trade deadline, whatever it might be, and it's probably not going to be much, let's be real. They're not going to do some kind of huge trade deadline move. But whatever it is that they do in that situation, the miss was in the preseason. The miss was not getting better options to compete at camp. The miss was not spending enough money this offseason to help the offense. The miss was, and you get this, you Ke'Bryan Hayes hits 320 in August last year. Has, I think, 14 extra base hits in September last year. You saw that his rookie year, and you're thinking he's kind of where he needs to be. With all the different, whether it's hitting coaches, whatever it might be, and I'm sure that plays a part of it, whether different philosophies. His father played in the major leagues for a decade and a half. So I'm sure there are things that he's telling him. He's got everything swimming through his head. It seems like it's all clicking now. It's all coming together. And he's come out this year. I mean, he's had some singles in the last few games. There's not a ton of drive. No RBIs. And that's a guy you need to have success to get to where you want to go. I mean, he's hitting 230. It's those areas more than, because if you want to make a move at the trade deadline, and no matter who the Pirates are looking at, they've got all this competition with them. So the Braves lead the wild card right now by 2.5 over the Padres, who are a half game better than the Cardinals right now. The Braves in San Diego, I mean, their rosters are playoff rosters. So let's just put those two in the playoffs. So it's St. Louis. Arizona's 2.5 back. The Mets are 2.5 back. The Giants are 3 back. The Reds are 3.5. The Pirates now 4. Nationals 4.5. And the Cubs are 6. So if Vlad Guerrero becomes available, even if you want to get into that sweepstakes, you're competing with all of those teams. Not everybody needs a first baseman, but you get what I'm saying. And that's just the National League. And that's to us, not to assume that division leaders don't need help at a different position. Even in the American League, Angels probably, although whether they admit it or not, A's and White Sox are out of it. Detroit, Texas, and Toronto, they're 8.5 back of the wild card. Not sure where their head is. Maybe they feel because, you know, there's three teams between them and the postseason that they feel like they've got the ability to make a run and they're not going to sell. Or they don't want the optics of a sell. Or maybe they're going to think about, hey, if we add one player, we could get ourselves over the hump. I mean, the Rangers would be an interesting sell after winning the World Series and then you just sell off everything. But it's that. So you want to make a move for somebody, you're going to have to compete against all of these teams, which is obviously going to drive up the value. Like if I'm a selling team, if I'm Miami or Colorado or the White Sox, man, I'm dragging this out because I can hold team. I could just dangle it out there for teams because there are several that need to make, that are looking to make moves, that are improve themselves, to get themselves that player or players that can make a difference. So you have that chance with the Cardinals here, and you lose 2 of 3. Yesterday in 10 innings. So you blew an opportunity to move ahead. Now you got a 4-game series with the Mets. New York is, after starting really slow, New York is coming on. You heard in the Shelton soundbite. I mean, they're starting to put it together. And as much of a rebound as anybody is who's facing Paul Skeens tonight and Luis Severino. Severino's 5-2 with a 3.42 ERA. So you get him on Friday. You get David Peterson, who's 3-0 with a 3.50 ERA on Saturday. Sean Manaea, guy's got a no-hitter in his pocket, 3.67 ERA, doing some great things, you know. And he's going to be a lefty issue against, you don't know who you're starting on Sunday. And then the one advantage, or probably the second advantage you have, is Mitch Keller against Christian Scott on Monday. Can you get enough offense against those pitchers? And then you're going to ask Paul Skeens, listen, we're not probably going to give you much support, so you got to go out and be perfect again. Bailey Falter, go out there and be perfect again. Mitch Keller, you got to go out there and be perfect. You got to bounce back from a tough start and go out there, and because we're not going to give you a ton of runs. And that's kind of the lot of where the Pirates are at right now. So at 4 games back on July 5th, it's too early to know where this team is. Like, you don't sell the farm on July 5th. And that's where the Pirates' mentality is, listen, we've got to get better internally. Not just because they're cheap. Not just because they always want to hold on to prospects. It's because at this point, that's what they need to do to keep themselves in the race. Just find a way to have Cabrian put a little streak together. Again, he's had a few hits in the last few games. To have Jack Suwinski, who hit one deep to the notch, could have been a home run yesterday, find more at the plate. maybe a Josh Palacios comes up and can be a spark like he was at times in September last year. Like, those are your options. You're not going to make those type of moves this early. Before the trade deadline. This team needs to figure out where they're at. And there's still a little time. The overreaction to every game. Let's see where they come out of this Mets series. Hell, let's see what happens when they go into the All-Star break. There's a lot of teams involved. When you added that third wild card, it made it so much different. It, you know, one playoff spot seems to have added four or five teams, and it's going to be that way every year. So as you think, okay, let's sell the farm. Let's just go out there and trade them all. Trade all these prospects. Well, is this really the year? I know there's no guarantees that the rotation will be the same. You know, I've heard the Mets comparison, and I know Joe's made it a lot, or excuse me, the Cubs comparison, that, you know, they had these young arms and then it didn't go year after year. But do you sell it all for this year? With this group, like, is there enough offense that you can afford with all the teams that you're competing against that you're going to have to make an offer? Like, do you throw out Tamar Johnson and Bubba Chandler to make a run this year? Or do you use the offseason? And I know, and that doesn't even mean that this year's out. Where this team will be in a couple of weeks will tell you. Not what's been happening right now. Not a loss on July 4th. What do they do in this series against the Mets? What do they do in the next couple of series? They've got to prove internally right now. And then as they get to the end, we'll see what's available. It's going to be a crazy trade deadline with all of these teams involved. Let's see where the Pirates are at the end of September. Hey, or at the end of July. Nicholas, let's talk coming up. Top of the hour. We have the Pirates all-time draft. I know you're excited, Callis.
I'm very excited.
So we'll discuss how we're going to do that coming up. Plus, a reminder, Bubba Chandler is going to join us at 9 o'clock. Jason Spezza at 9:30. Chris Peek from PantherLair.com. And a lot of things that's been happening with Pitt sports, especially football, grabbing three transfers or three commits. And then at 8:30, Dan Zangrilli will go over more of this. We'll get some of his thoughts on where he thinks what he thinks the Pirates need to do at this point, or how do they solve their hitting woes as we continue Fan Morning Show. Jeff Hathorn for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff Hathorn with Nicholas Harry Callison. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to put together the greatest Pirates team of all time. We're going to draft it. So how this will work is we'll just pick a position. We'll alternate picks. Best of all time. Can be somebody from the 1900s, like not just the century, but like the decade way back then. Could be somebody on today's team. Is there a player, Nicholas, that you really want on your team? Like you're going to be ticked if I take, because you really want that player on your team.
Absolutely. There's a few.
But there's got to be one.
So we're going down the list. We're going to do it by position. We're each going to alternate picking
right
at each position. Starting with catcher and working to pitchers.
Yes.
Do we get to choose a designated hitter?
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll be upset. There's a lot of great names to pick from.
So you're playing this smartly. I'm trying to drag out of you the player that you really want so I can pick them.
I'm not going to tell you that. Come on now. Nice try.
There are... It's funny because there's so much history and there's so many different ways you can go with different players. And this is just, and to be clear, this is time with the Pirates. So if they happen to pick up somebody where somebody may have gone on to do great things somewhere else, this is about their time with the Pirates. So you could probably think of a few players that have done amazing things in the league but have spent little of that time with the Pirates. This is about someone who had that type of career with the Pirates. We're going to do that coming up at the top of the hour here on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff Hathorn in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson with Nicholas Harry Callis on the 5th of July. It is a Paul Skeens night coming up at about 6:45. There's an article in MLB.com about Paul Skeens starting the All-Star game and why that would make sense for Major League Baseball to have Paul Skeens start the All-Star game. Bypass any of these other pitchers having a great year that have been in the league longer than him. We'll state his case and why he believes that. But coming up, a Mount Lebanon native with a big day yesterday in Major League Baseball. We'll tell you about that pretty historic day for the locals. We continue here on the Fan Morning Show, brought to you by Guardian Protection, 93.7 The Fan. HM3 Partners Independence Fund presents Celebrity Care Fest, benefiting UPMC Children's Hospital Foundation. It's two nights of star-studded entertainment, July 26th and 27th. Pat Benatar, Smokey Robinson, and a superstar artist that's so big we can't even tell you who it is yet. Learn about that person at hm3.org. Tickets on sale at hm3.org. Callis went to this concert, same event, a couple of years ago. Peter Frampton in Chicago played. It's an intimate setting. It's awesome.
You told me that yesterday. Sounds like a great time.
It's amazing. So check it out, hm3.org. Mount Lebanon grad Ian Happ, obviously of the Chicago Cubs, hit a pair of three-run home runs yesterday. Not only a pair of three-run homers, but one from the right side and one from the left side. And he did it in consecutive innings. He is the first Cubs player to do that since 1937. Hit consecutive three-run homers from different sides of the plate. Ian Happ hitting .238, but the on-base percentage is .351 this year, a .799 OPS. He has 20 doubles and 13 RBIs. In his career, 171 doubles and 138 homers. Happ helping baseball in the area. Obviously, everybody knows locally about Bednar, and there are others. And there's a guy from Mars this year has a chance to be number one overall in J.J. Weatherholt. ...2022 All-Star with gold gloves in the last 2 years. He has no errors this year. None. Two straight gold gloves. Another one probably coming. Signed to a three-year $61 million deal. And Ian Happ, it may strike a nerve with you, or might really, even if you don't realize he's from Mount Lebanon, you think, oh, I know this name for the Cubs. Yeah, because he kills the Pirates. .308 average, .396 on base percentage. So 4 out of 10 times when Ian Happ faces the Pirates, he's on base. 31 doubles in his career against the Pirates. 18 homers in 102 games against the Pirates with 64 RBIs. And by the way, in that game yesterday, Jameson Taillon, 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Taillon now a .299 ERA and a .118 whip. When they made that trade, I'm not going to go back with hindsight, because when they made the trade, He'd been dealing, obviously, he's dealt with a lot, with cancer, injuries. You didn't know what he was going to be. He was going to cost you some money. Trade him. You make that trade to the Yankees at the time for Yohei, Contreras, Smith and Jigba. You felt pretty good about the return, and you didn't know what Tyone is going to bring. He's one of the best guys in baseball. And he's found a home. Another good outing yesterday. As he doesn't just do it against a lineup. He mows down the Phillies. As Tyone, 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts yesterday. With Ian Happ providing the offense for him. As we continue here on the Fan Morning Show, Pirates are pretty happy with their ace right now. Is there a case for Paul Skenes, who starts tonight against Luis Severino, 6:40 on 93.7 The Fan, Dan Zangrilli at 5:45 with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show to get you set for another Paul Skenes night here on The Fan. Is there a case for him to not only make the All-Star game, but be the starter in the All-Star game? We'll discuss that as we continue. It's Fan Morning Show, Jeff Hathorne for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson here on 93.7 The Fan. Fan Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff Hathorne in for the guys. As we lead you into the 4th of July weekend. Buccos tonight, 6:40. Paul Skenes on the mound. Ah, yes. Paul Skenes. It doesn't even at times seem real. 10th start. And what I'm about to read you is something from MLB.com about a Pirate. It's from Will Leach, one of the MLB writers. He says, right now there's probably no bigger star in the game, or at least on the mound, than Paul Skenes, a Pirate. Mentioned how he's incredible, he's electric to watch. That brings out not just the diehards, but the casual fans. That he's a guy you can't take your eyes off of. Says, as you look at the starters for the All-Star game, or starting pitchers, while you can make arguments for several pitchers, he thinks Paul Skenes should start the All-Star game for the National League. Here's his reasoning. One, simply, he deserves it. I mean, he's 4-0, 2.06 ERA, 34% strikeout rate to a 5% walk rate. That's the second largest gap in MLB. He gives up about 5 hits a start. He's got 5 pitches, and as Leach said, they're all great. Leach says that Skenes almost single-handedly makes the Pirates a team anyone would be terrified to face in the playoffs. That he has just been incredible. His second point. It would be the grandest exposure for him. Here's a guy that MLB Network stops their programming to put on their air, no matter who the Pirates are playing. Skenes has hit some of the national stage, but what an environment to showcase this 22-year-old pitcher than right there at the All-Star game. He says people will be transfixed to watch it. And he said, then another point he brings is not just regular media, not just television, but what this would do for social media. Given the popularity of his girlfriend, Livy Dunn, the off-field interest for the All-Star game would be immense. Because of the hype on social media, reaching all these people that may not follow the game at all, but wonder what this is about. All-Star games are hurting for eyes. Maybe baseball less so than some of the others. I mean, now they're doing drastic things in other games to try to get people to watch it, to try to make it exciting. You put Paul Skeens out there and get people on TikTok and Instagram going crazy. Leach said it would turn the All-Star game into an event bigger than it already is and bigger than it's been in years. If Paul Skeens were to start the All-Star game. Another reason he states is that Skeens loves the big moments. Most outstanding player in the College World Series at LSU. Never looks nervous, gives those little winks. Seems to be in control, has this cockiness, but not over the top. You know, his comment to Hannah Mears about, you know, how the league is going to adjust to him. Or what about when the league adjusts? Well, they got to worry about him. He loves the big stage. He wants these opportunities. He has the vibe that not only with that confidence, I mean, so you, let's say he starts the All-Star game as a rookie. 11 starts into his career. And there he is on that stage. What are those hitters going to want to do? And think about who he might face. Aaron Judge, Soto, Vlad. What if he were to go out there and just mow down the top three? I think it was Pedro. I'm trying to remember, guys. I think it was Pedro Martinez years ago. He like struck out like Larkin, McGuire, I think. Larry Walker, he came in and struck out like five in a row. And what Will Leach is saying at MLB.com is, what if Skeens just comes out and strikes out the side?
It would be impressive, indeed. Especially because he's so young. Sometimes now you get caught in the fanfare of like the veterans doing that to each other, but watching Paul Skeens do that would be great.
I think it makes a lot. I hadn't thought of it. I thought of him like having an outside chance to be an All-Star, although, you know, maybe Reynolds will be the Pirates rep. You know, Keller, for the course of the first half of the season, has more on the resume.
You think Brian Reynolds, just with his month of June, could make him an All-Star?
I think the potential to be an All-Star. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had enough of a dive to look at other players. Who are the other one-offs on some of these teams that stink? And, you know, where is there going to be an availability? Like, is there going to be room in the bullpen or on the pitching staff? Or is it going to be, well, you know what, there's really not an outfielder, so that's where it fits. So I hadn't thought of Skeens doing that. But when I read Leach's article, like, this makes sense. I get how some players be like, what the hell? How do you bring this guy in and he's the starter when he's only had two handfuls of starts in the major leagues? But these games need viewers. All-Star games are dying. What better way than to have this hyped kid, this confident hype kid out of Pittsburgh, who maybe still a lot of fans haven't even seen pitch, starting the All-Star game. Not coming in the sixth inning. Not coming in the fourth inning or the eighth inning. But starting it. So you've got all the hype leading up. What's this kid going to do? When he faces these All-Star players from the AL, how's that matchup going to play? I mean, I love it. It's just an inning. he'd be jazzed for it. Like, I get that he doesn't have a whole broad spectrum of work this season. I mean, strikeout rate is insane. I mean, we've been lucky to see it here. And what is so cool is that all of that, this is not like some random guy from the Angels, not random, maybe one of the greatest players of all time with the Angels now, with the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani, not some guy that's unattainable on the other side of the coast or that you never get to see in person here in town. This is a Pirate player. This is a reason the fans are kind of excitable and why every loss seems like the end of the world, because, man, we got Skeens now. Like, this is the time. And now you've got national guys talking about the Pirates. It's cool. I mean, how often do you get national reporters to write articles about Pirates players? I mean, recently, what, maybe a little on McCutchen coming back? What else has moved the needle? And it's, listen, I'm not saying it's all about hype, but I'm saying it's cool in this instance that there's a legit player from here that they're talking about after 9 starts in his career to kind of bypass it all and start the crown jewel event of the season, the All-Star Game. Wouldn't that be something? Skeens will start tonight, 6:40. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.